Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. We have a freaking awesome guest coming up later. Our guy will be on with us later. We'll get to that. He was kind enough to give us like 20 minutes of his time. Awesome, awesome stuff. We'll get to that. But Jack, presented by Miller Lite, by the way. Shout out to Miller Lite. Jack asked me where my Miller Lite for Phil's wins tweets. Mm-hmm. Boom! They're there. Check it out. In all honesty, Jack, I'm all jacked up right now because, like, jacked up, no pun intended, Jack. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've done this pod a zillion times and they never sweep when we're doing this pod. And they swept. They freaking swept. They just handle business. They kicked the Cardinals' butts. Like, they were just like, we're just going to dispatch of this team. This team that is way inferior to us this season. They're going to come to town and we're just going to handle business, Jack. Like, the Phillies are 14 games above 500. They're creating separation in the wild card. Like, let's freaking go. How you doing, pal?
Doing great, man. Like, I just, first off, my first Phils at the Beach experience is going on right now. Which is, I mean, again, there's just nothing better. There's nothing better in the world than watching the Phillies down the beach. Now, does my family question it? Of course.
Well, I heard them in the background before we started recording, like, babies and kids everywhere, and I want to go to the boardwalk, I want to go to the beach, like, in the background, a lot of that action happening.
Just want to let everyone know that I am missing out on boardwalk time right now to do this.
Yes, because you are. It is
strictly that important.
Well, I even said to Jack, I was like, do you have, like, an out time? Do you, like, because, again, we already did the interviews, so, you know, we've hit, you know, it's like, how much, you know? And he's like, no, man. He's like, I'm good.
Yeah, I just, again, and I think I've explained this to you, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that understand this, and, or maybe I'm just, like, sick in the head, but when I'm not, when the Phillies are on, and I'm not watching, it's just, like, I can't physically do it. Like, I'm on my phone all the time, I'm checking everything, so for the greater good of the family,
they know better.
You have to just let me watch. I know it can seem insane. Yeah,
and who's the child at the shore house this weekend? That's the real good.
This idiot.
Let me ask the question: who is the child? Yeah, that's right.
Exactly right. But, like, dude, we talked about this a lot last week. I know you're on the air for three more days because Joe DeCamera is in freaking Sweden. So you're continuing to host the morning show, which is great. And I'm happy for you.
Thanks, buddy.
But we've talked a lot about, like, man, I love this team. Like, I just love these guys. And what's so nice about this weekend and how they played recently, even the Giants series for the most part, except for, you know, game three, is that, like, they're just showing up and beating teams finally. It's like, first off, this should have been the entire year. I mean, the whole year should have been this, where it's like, that sounds harsh because it's like, it's baseball. I understand it's hard. But I think this is what we...
And they didn't have Bryce in April. And it took a while. Like, you can make excuses, but I agree with you.
This is what I think we were anticipating. And a nice part about where we're at right now, and what just has me just downright giddy, is not only the offense is 100%, like, I think they've mostly figured it out. They face bad pitching. I'm shocked, by the way. It's a quick side note. That Cardinals pitching staff is just atrocious. I mean,
the Cardinals themselves. This was a playoff
so bad,
team last
dude.
Year. They had a better record than the Phillies last year.
And I know.
Like, and they're so bad. I mean, they're a
so
really bad.
Bad
team. Yeah.
So, and the pitching's like even worse. I kept waiting. I thought Bryce was going to take Mikolas like 600 feet on Friday. He was trying to, which I appreciate. But it's just like, you know, they're showing up and winning games. And what has me excited is, again, I'm trying not to get there. Because we know what he can make us feel horrible in milliseconds.
I mean, he was awesome today.
He was awesome today. Like, he's been awesome too straight.
Should we not even say his name? Should we just be like, we're definitely not going to say the B word or anything about him.
Yeah, 27. Like, how about that? 27.
The last outing in the Giants series was nice, and we talked about it. And obviously, he had the couple home runs, the solo shots, and a couple moments. But you know, he settled in, did a good job. Today, he was nasty. Yes. Like today, he was dominant. You know.
Totally. So what has been holding me back of talking about this team and like how far they can go? I've always been a believer that the offense, if they get in, was going to be good because I think there's enough talent here and they get in these big moments and, you know, I expect them to kind of flip the switch here.
Bullpen, they have in August. You see that stack? I mean, they've already set the record for home runs in a month.
Which again,
in any month in the history of the franchise, and it's August 27th. They said it on the 26th. I mean, it on the 26th.
I watched the 07 to 11 Phillies. Like, you know, this is not how it's supposed to be. But what was always holding me back was, what am I getting out of the number one and number two in the rotation? And I think when Ranger gets back, hopefully he can just settle in and be the third guy. And we head in, and a wild card round is those two. But
Walker, if Walker can figure it out, like. I still don't think that's crazy.
Why are we not allowed to say Christopher Sanchez?
I'm so with you. Dude, all he does is go out and give you like six innings, two runs. Seven innings, two runs. Like, that's all he does.
It's like, why can't we talk about it? Possibly being a part of the rotation. He's been insane. And you talk about like best pitches on the team. I mean, the Chris Sanchez changeup is one of the best pitches on the team. So again, we'll see how September goes. We'll see how everything else kind of goes. But like, I would rather have Christopher Sanchez start a playoff game over Lorenzen or Walker.
Over Lorenzen for sure. And yeah, right now today over Walker for sure. But right now today, like even if Ranger was healthy, I might start. I mean, the history of Ranger and how cool and calm he is in those spots, you know. It's hard for me not to give him that shot. But, like, in terms of right now, today, Christopher Sanchez is pitching like one of the best three starters on this team, without a doubt.
What a world. I mean, the Phillies clearly, I mean, they won the Curtis Meade trade, right? Like, we don't.
Is that who it was? You could have given me I don't want to be hyperbolic and just be like ridiculous. You could have given me 15 million guesses and I would not have gotten that it was the Curtis Meade trade.
Interesting. So I was not aware. I guess I learned that at 5:12 on Sunday, August 27th, I was doing this podcast as the total fraud. I mean, are you serious? I mean, they gave up a guy who ended up being a top 50 prospect for Chris Sanchez. So yeah.
I mean, are you serious?
It's a pretty lopsided trade. But right now, Christopher Sanchez is obviously, he's doing great. Anyway, but with the way those two are going right now, and I mean, Zach Wheeler yesterday, it was just
it's nasty. And
apparently he made a mechanical change right before the national start.
Love a mechanical change. Give it
nothing.
To
nothing gets me to hook, line, and sinker right back in on a guy like a mechanical change. But
he moved his arm degree 3%, and it's changed everything.
So I haven't been. Totally, the way it looks to me is he's doing a way better job of like staying back and then finding a way to have that little extra zip on his fastball the last couple starts, which is really important because that's
Zach Wheeler.
That's the funniest part about Zach Wheeler. He's been so good, right, as a Philly, and I feel like he's never been able to locate an off-speed pitch.
Yeah,
like that shows how dominant his fastball can be.
It's a great point. Like, yeah, I'm like trying to think of like an image of him just like snapping one off, and I can't think of any. Like, they're all like soft kind of.
They're
like,
all
you know?
Show like his breaking pitches are all show me pitches. Yeah, like they're just all show me pitches. Yeah. So yeah, it's just it's such an exciting time right now, and I think what has me most excited, James, is that it feels like the city feels it. Like the Giants series, we it's talked
packed,
about how big...
Dude, it's been packed down there.
And not even like 35,000. No, we're talking over 40. It was
like sellout. Like I looked at them like, that's a sellout.
It dude, the crowd...
Feels like a sellout.
The crowd last night was one of the best awesome. Regular season crowds I've seen since maybe the Wheeler start on Halliday Day. Like, that's what it reminded me of, just crowd-wise, like, for a regular season game. But other than that, like, we're talking heyday for that crowd on Saturday night. And the Phillies were just like, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to go out and score 12.
They're going to go down 1-0 and then score 12. Yes.
I was nervous when they...
Shocking. I guess that's... You can't shut out a team without getting the lead before them. So I'm happy they just did it right away because it was very jarring.
It was. I was like, calm down. You know, like, especially so not only did they score first, but they also won a game the night after scoring like a million runs.
Oh, which... dude. I almost had, that was part of what I was saying at the front. It's not just the sweep. It was like, I felt so sure they were going to lose today. I felt like that. And if they won, I felt like it was going to be 1-0 on like a Cardinals error that allowed a run to score. Like, I felt like there was no way they were coming out and doing anything. Schwarber, though, you know, like, to, you know, that's what the guy does on the days when you need him. He comes, like when you're clinching in Houston, he comes out and he's like, bang, let's go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just everything with the team right now. You know, it does feel like the city is now, like, I've been joking, texting with my, I guess my cousin-in-laws or whatever, who like always give me crap for being a Phillies guy. You watch every game, whatever, like what a loser. And I heard through sources that they now have Phillies flags like outside their house.
You watch every
like,
game, what a loser, what a burn. Oh, got me.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and now it's like now everyone's just all in on like watching because they're finally bringing an exciting brand of baseball. And when you see the crowd the way they've been for a home series in August, especially the last couple, I mean, not last couple years, but like 18, 19, when they were in it, no one was showing up because no one believed. This year, it's like, we're going to have your back and like, let's go on a run together. Like, let's go on a run.
It's a love affair, dude.
It is an absolute love affair, this fan base and this team. It's again, we talked about this last podcast. I didn't think I would feel the way I do about a baseball team post 08 and like obviously the subsequent years after, like I do about this team. Like it's childlike. It's bringing everything back, and I'm so happy that for years of us preaching baseball is not dead here, the way that this fan base has just sold it. It's giddy.
It's so cool, especially how it came back like that. And yes, they had to have a playoff run, and
they did. Yeah,
you know, but one playoff run. It was one playoff run, and obviously, you know, they get credit for being likable and letting us into their celebrations and kind of letting us feel that they liked each other and all that stuff. And obviously, that's grown and grown as we've gotten to know them better and gotten to know their camaraderie. And obviously, as it's gotten more and more, and they've talked about how much we mean to them and the playoff experience itself of the fans, where it's, you know, why Trey Turner signed here and I can feel it through the TV and all that stuff. Like it all compounds and it all adds up together. But I think like just the fact that that we had the run last year, and it's like, oh yeah, we love the Phillies. Like, that's cool. We do love the Phillies. And then for them to start slow this year, but the fan base to stick with them and the fan base to still show up and to be there. We talked about throughout, keep coming to games, and then to do that for Turner. And now they're turning it on. And it's like, yes, that's why we keep coming for this right now. Like, give me this. This is awesome. And it's great, man. It's awesome to see. And I just can't wait for the playoffs. Like, I'm so ready for
I know.
Playoff baseball here again.
I was thinking that today. I was like, I'm very happy. This is great. But like, if I could just fast forward to October, I'm just emotionally, physically, like, get me to October.
Well, especially get me back in that ballpark. Coming, you know, September. Like, I really do think that this team will give us a stress-free September, like, for the first time. I do. I believe, or at least stress-ish free. I'm sure there'll be a couple moments, but I think it won't be like last year where, you know, it's coming down to the final days and we're like, oh, we're counting on the Brewers to lose because we lost and all that stuff. Like, I don't think it'll be like that, but it's September. And until they don't make it feel like that, like we, you know, we don't have any other experience with this group. But I'm it's freaking thrilling, man. It is thrilling. And to your point, like I think the most important thing that came out of this weekend, even though they had a 12-run barrage and they showed up and all that, it was like seeing Wheeler and Nola do that on back-to-back days. Again, so the Cardinals are a bad team, but they're not like a horrible offense. I mean, they still have some dudes who can hit there and stuff. I mean, to see them both just go out and shove like that, that's what you've been talking about all season. That's been like your number one like rallying cry for this team is, you know, I think the bats will figure out. And they're all like figure out at the same time, which is nice. But, you know, you've always
Besides the catcher.
Trust me, I was going to get to that. That was literally going to be my next thing. That's next. But like, you know, for them to, you know, for you've been saying the whole time, like none of it matters unless they have their aces at the top. Like you said it over and over and over again.
Yeah, and you know, the Cardinals offense definitely isn't terrible. Although, like, Taylor Motter doing on a big league?
It's not good. There's a reason they're, like, you know, 20 games out of 500 or whatever.
Yeah, but, like, listen, it doesn't matter. Because these guys,
you could see it. You know, Nola, they would have done that against anybody today.
I agree. And Nola especially, because Wheeler's been really good. I mean, Wheeler...
Wheeler's been better than his numbers show.
I'm just not a war guy when it comes to pitching, but like.
Well, yeah, I feel like this Kyle Schwarber season might make me officially reject war moving forward.
Well, like, it should have Ryan Howard seasons back.
I
in the
know.
Day
it's like you're telling me that he's a less than, like stop like that's stupid. Like I'm sorry, this stat needs to adjust for players like this because that's incredibly stupid to tell me that he's like a negative player. Like you're dumb. I'm sorry.
Right.
That's dumb.
But pitching war, like I think it's hard to quantify. Whatever. I don't think
just like defense. Like the defensive stats are still not great. You know.
Yeah, but
they're good, but they're not like perfect, you know.
No. Listen. As always, I test this king. But what Nola has specifically done the last two starts, I think, is really exciting. Today was definitely better than his last start. Even though I thought it was really good in his last start, but today was obviously a different level. I thought what he did better today than I've seen in, I mean, ages is. He made such an emphasis to get on top of the ball and drive it down. And he was low in the zone. Like the moment where it really stuck out to me is he very deliberately like spiked a curveball. And it was like maybe 60 feet. Or not 60 feet. Maybe 59 feet. But he threw it so directly like into the ground that you could tell that what they told him was... get on top of the fastball, get on top of everything. When you're not doing that, that's when balls are leaving the yard. So get on top of it. He was down. And then what made him so effective today, first off, dotting both sides of the plate with ease, which has, again, been a while, it feels like. But it was down, and then up. And that's the plan, man. Like, down, have their eye level, looking down, and then when you raise it, it's jarring to them. But he can't be a guy that starts at the hip, or I guess the hip. He can't be a guy that starts at the hip and, you know, goes up. But if he's a guy living at the knees and then going up, that works. So he was made a very, very concerted effort to get on top of the baseball, keep it down, and... I mean, they reap the benefits of it. So again, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, and I don't think we should.
You never do. It's not your style at all.
I am trying my hardest, but that is good stuff if you can just keep it going.
Yeah, it's all about keeping it going. But yeah,
he also dominates the Cardinals. Like he threw a complete game against them last year.
I was thinking, and the playoff start.
Yeah,
no, I was thinking about that. So you know, I agree. We need to see more of it, but it's encouraging, especially to your point, which it is King. Like the eye test today, like he just looked nasty. Like he looked pretty much nastier than he has all season. Maybe only one or two other times this season. I feel like I've watched him and just been so impressed with his stuff. All right, I want to talk. We're going to talk JT, obviously, and I want to get to one good thing and then take bags. I'm sure you get to the rest there. But quickly on JT, you know, I know you had the two hits today. whatever. I mean, they put up 12 runs. He's literally the only person in the starting lineup who wasn't on the stat sheet. Like, there were other people who had no hits. They scored runs. Like, he was literally the only starter who did nothing. He has been, we've kept waiting for it. And look, everyone's turning around. And the good we're going to get to is Bryce, because I want to talk Bryce in a sec. Because, by the way, he's batting 306, like, no big deal. Like, if Bryce Harper had played more, like, we'd be talking about, are we sure Freddie Freeman and Acuna and Betts are fighting for the MVP? Can Bryce sneak into this thing?
Dude, real quick. Mookie, I believe, is hitting 458 this month.
Yeah, Mookie's been insane, dude. He's just been like, oh, you think Acuna's winning it? Guess what? And, like, Mookie's numbers are better all of a sudden. I thought Acuna had it, like, locked up. I mean, Freddie Freeman has 50 doubles. It's August 27th. Like, what is happening? All right. We'll get to Harper in a sec. But JT, it's like all these guys have turned a corner. Every single one of them. Trey Turner, obviously, we know when that happened and all that. Like, all these guys have shown up. You know, or been, you know, Nick's been what he's been all season, you know, that type of stuff. And JT was like, oh, the Toronto series, we're going to get, you know, or last year, and oh, we're going to wait for that this year, and it's going to happen. Like, he has just looked lost consistently. I mean, we talked about last time that strikeout in the ninth of that Giants game. They should be on a 6-game winning streak right now. I don't know if they won before. Yeah, 6 straight. I mean, they have won 6 straight. They should have swept back-to-back series, but, you know, where are you at with JT? Are we at the point where it's just like, this is what we're getting this year, and you hope for the best? Hope he gets a hold of one, luckily, or someone hangs one to him or something.
Standing O? Does he need a standing O?
No,
we can't do it. We can't do it. So here's my thoughts on JT. I mean, Stubbs started Friday, which I thought was interesting. I thought Stubbs was going to start today, like, especially with the.
Well, that's what they usually do. Yeah.
So I was a little surprised by that, but maybe with a righty on the mound with Giolito tomorrow, that they put Stubbs out there again. I don't know, but I guess how I feel about JT is that he's batting seventh and he's just not killing them. I mean, I know the strikeout happened.
I agree with you.
When Turner was batting two and Castellanos was batting four, like, those are, like, really important spots in the lineup that you just can't have no production out of. Seventh, like, sure, I know contract aside, you're paying him $25 million and he's just not living up to it. I'm at the point where he's batting low. I don't think he's really killing him. I'm not anticipating what he did after the Toronto series last year at all. But I'm just, it's not something that I'm, like, melting down about every day. Because I also know that the offense is not going to be all hot at the same time. So maybe if they go down a little bit here, then JT can kind of take off.
I like that.
He's just, like, it hasn't felt that terrible.
We know that he can do it. He has it in him, and he has it in him to kind of turn on a dime. We've seen that before. I'm not super optimistic or super hopeful, but I do think, to your point, that I don't think he's killing them. And look, you know, maybe in the playoffs we just get, you know, let Stubbs play at Citizens Bank Park and play JT in the road games and just follow that home road thing.
It's shocking.
Stunning. The numbers are stunning.
I mean, it's obviously has to be a thing now.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly. Almost September.
Yeah. I mean, those are, you know, it's not a huge sample size, but it's a sample size. All right. Last thing before the take bag, before our guest, then the take bag. Bryce. I mean, dude, they showed the now. I mean, he has like, I think he has 9 homers since the All-Star break. He had 5 before it, or maybe it's like 11 actually or something. So I don't know what it is, but he's been like, he's just a completely different player than he was, you know, a month ago. It's awesome.
He's not a completely different player. He's Bryce Harper again. Yeah, like,
he's locked in. Locked
I would argue. In. I would argue the guy that was not hitting home runs.
I like that. Yeah, he's back to being Bryce Harper. Well done. Good work play by you. Yeah.
Well, I mean, think about it. It feels like all the stars in baseball have kind of just figured it out the last month and a half. Like we just talked about Mookie, we talked about Freddie Freeman, we talked about. Julio Rodriguez run is also insane.
He raised his average like 20 points in August in like a week. It was like insane. That like is impossible.
Yeah. I mean, Trey Turner looks closer to back. To being back to being Trey Turner than we had thought. So there's just not enough that you can say about the guy to where it's, you know, he gets big hits in big moments. He extends the lead today. You know, it's a 2-0 game, kind of tight. Bang, Harper hits a single late, makes it 3-0, and then that just kind of calms down a lot of people. You know, I mean, this bullpen has been good, but there's still that little bit of fear of they're leaking oil at the wrong time. And it's just everything, you know, righty, lefty. I mean, he just does it all. The one thing about Bryce that I'm just interested in, like, what are we doing with the first base thing? Because
yeah, I'm with Schwarber's, you.
It's what, six straight games that Bryce is, it's been since the Little League game on Sunday. I mean, he had an inside the park home run. He had a game where he hit four balls 110 miles an hour. He's crushing the ball. I'd be shocked, frankly, if the back injury was still there. They're winning. I can't tell if they're trying to do this thing where they're winning with Bryce at DH and Schwarber in left at the moment. But like, are you telling me that in the second half of September and as we get into the postseason, that Schwarber's gonna be out there, or can we iron out the problems now with Bryce at first base so that by the time the playoffs roll around, we're firing on all cylinders? That's
yeah. No, it's important.
It has to be a thing at this point. So I don't know what it is. Maybe they're trying to do the whole thing. We're winning with Schwarber in left field and Bryce at the DH. And maybe they're saying what Bryce is doing at DH outweighs what Schwarber does defensively. And maybe they felt like Bryce at first base wasn't having the same level of offensive production. I guess you can make that case. But I would just like, it's so much better when you can have Rojas and Marsh out there, Schwarber the DH, and Bryce at first base. I think he's been fine. He's not a Gold Glover. It was never about being perfect this year. It was about figuring it out. But either way, what he's doing at the plate, the way he's carrying this team, and really just his energy feeding into the rest of the ball club is a big reason why I think they've gone on this insane run.
Totally agree with you. Like it's like we saw in the playoffs last year, that was the feeling, you know, his energy, kind of his talent kind of led, you know, kind of was the catalyst for everything. And it's awesome. All right. Special guest in a sec. Shout out to the Miller Lite Bar of the Week. And this is one I've been to many times. It's a great bar in Philly. I love this place. Shout out to Oscar's Tavern. Today's Miller Lite Bar of the Week is Oscar's Tavern in Center City, where you can watch all Philly's games with $3 Miller Lite pint specials. Check out Oscar's Tavern on Facebook. Oscar's is an awesome place.
Lately, I've been wanting my makeup routine to feel lighter and more intentional. I still want my skin to look even and glowy, but I don't want to feel like I'm wearing heavy foundation every day. Primally Pure's new Sun Serum Tinted SPF has become my everyday go-to because it feels like skincare first. It gives mineral SPF 30 protection, evens everything out, and leaves the prettiest healthy skin finish. Then, I use their lip and cheek tint for a quick flush of color. It's nourishing, multi-purpose, and makes getting ready feel really effortless. I love that both formulas are made without synthetic fragrance, PFAs, or chemical sunscreen filters. Just really thoughtful ingredients that support healthy skin. If you've been wanting a more simplified, skin-first makeup routine for summer, definitely check out Primally Pure's new tinted SPF collection.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right. What a pleasure. I mean, Jack and I, you know, just a couple idiots doing a podcast. And, you know, we get to talk to a Major League Baseball player who, like, you know, appreciates us. And when he's in town, he's like, yeah, sure. Like, we love you, Mick. Mickey Modiak, our guy, like the official baseball player of the IOPS podcast, whether he's a Philly or not, took some time to talk to us. Take back coming up in a few, but we hope you enjoy this. I know he's the enemy for 3 days, but I'm pretty sure everyone who's a member of the IOPS community is always going to be a fan of this guy. So here's our guy, Mickey Modiak. Join us a little bit ago. All right. It's our distinct pleasure to welcome back to the podcast, multiple time guest, friend of the pod. He may be playing for the Angels right now, but he will always be the favorite baseball player of this podcast, no matter where he is. Our guy crushing it out in L.A. No big deal. Shohei Ohtani tells people, I play with Mickey Modiak. Mickey.
What up, fellas?
Now, I mean, I told you this morning, but if you need me to organize a standing O and get the whole fan base ready to go, I got your back, man. It's gonna be a good time. The boy returns home.
I don't know about all that, but definitely excited to be back for a few days, and it should be fun. Should be good seeing everybody and, you know, being back to where it all started.
Well, I'll tell you what, Citizens Bank Park's a little different than the last time you were around.
Well, Mick, let's start with that. Go ahead, bud. Go ahead.
No. I mean, what do you got? What's different?
I want to get into the Angel stuff and what it's been like out there, but seeing the from afar, like the standing ovations for Turner thing and how, you know, he's talked about it changing his season and all that. As someone who played here and saw what it was like and was back, you know, and saw that playoff atmosphere, what's it like to see that from afar and kind of see, you know, from the outside, knowing what it's like, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was incredible. I think, you know, just watching the playoff run that the boys had last year and, you know, just seeing how that fan base rallied around the guys during that whole run to the World Series was, you know, something that, you know, when I got drafted, I dreamed of being a part of. And, you know, obviously that didn't happen. But being able to watch it and see, you know, all the guys that I grew up with, all of some of my closest friends, you know, still to this day, be able to experience that was special. And you know, just kind of shows what the Philly fan base is all about. And, you know, what I knew it was all about, you know, just had to get some winning involved. And once that happened, it was awesome to see it. And then obviously, you know, watching what they did for Trey, rallying around him and now kind of seeing him go on that surge and be the Trey Turner that they signed is, it was super cool to watch for sure.
Now, obviously, we'll get back some Phil stuff, but man, you're killing it out in LA. How's it been? I mean, like a big kind of like weight lifted off your shoulder, and now, like, just watching from afar, it just seems like you can just go out there and play. What's it been like as an Angel?
It's been great. You know, I think, you know, as much as I would have liked to be doing this in Philly, I think a change of scenery was good for me, and you know, just kind of getting a fresh start. Obviously, didn't play the way I wanted to for the Phils, and I'm grateful for every second that I got to spend there, and all the development that I did there. You know, I don't think that I'm doing what I'm doing right now without everything that went on, you know, the 7 years I played in Philadelphia and, you know, coming through the minor leagues there. So it's been fun, man. I think, like you said, just going out and playing baseball, trusting myself, having confidence in myself. And, you know, I've always known it was in there. It's just took a little bit to come out.
Yeah. And I mean, it helps you're playing with, you know, Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. Like, I mean, James and I are baseball geeks, and like our fans are all geeks. Like, I mean, can you explain to us like what Shohei Ohtani is?
Honestly, I honestly don't think I can do that because it's one of the most impressive things that I've ever gotten to watch on a baseball field. You know, I've been fortunate enough to play with a lot of really good players, you know, in my short career so far. And you know, just for me, going out there and getting ready for the starter, you know, every day and you know, that's tough enough. But, you know, when he was going out there every fifth day, getting ready to face, you know, an opposing lineup and dominate them and then go out there and get three hits and maybe a homer or two. You know, I've seen some of the crazier feats that have been accomplished in this game firsthand. So it's something that I'll be able to tell my kids about. You know, I think the one in particular that stands out was when we were in Detroit, you know, going out there throwing the complete game shutout and then going out getting two homers. And
yep, I was watching that on it was like during the day I was home, I was watching that as it happened. I'm like, geez Louise, man,
it's ridiculous. He's not of this planet. It's I mean, it's something I'm going to tell my kids about. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're playing with the greatest baseball player of all time, personally. Like, that's I don't even know how you can argue it. You know, you can say other people have had better careers, but in terms of just like pure talent, like the best ever. Mick, I wanted to ask, you talked a little bit before about kind of getting a fresh start in Los Angeles. And I've always found that interesting as someone who doesn't play the game. You always hear that with, I mean, you were the number one pick in the draft, you know, like a top prospect. You always hear that with top prospects who sometimes don't get the opportunity somewhere or it doesn't work out and they go somewhere else and succeed. It's like, oh, they just needed a fresh start. Like how real is that? Like that, is that something that is like tangible to you?
I think it's very real. You know, I think a few things go into that. I don't think it's just like, I think when you say a fresh start, I think there's a lot that goes into just that statement right there. I think for me, it was, you know, when I was with Philly, there wasn't a real long leash for good reason. And, you know, I didn't validate getting everyday opportunities to play. I think, you know, there was a lot of money on the field. The team was built to win now. And you know, obviously we saw that last year making the World Series run. And, you know, for me, it took a little bit to get comfortable. It took a little bit to kind of feel confident in the box in the big leagues and facing big league pitching and kind of just slowing the game down. I think for me, it came with reps. And so in that sense, coming over to Anaheim last year, not really in a playoff hunt, kind of just had a little bit longer of a leash to go out there and get everyday at-bats and kind of fail and learn and figure out how to hit in the big leagues, you know, what I need to do on a daily basis and kind of just refine an approach up there was something that I needed. You know, unfortunately that opportunity wasn't given in Philly for good reason, like I said, and you know, no ill will towards anybody over there. You know, I think I'm always grateful for the time that I spent over there, the people that I met, you know, that whole journey, like I said, led me to here. And then on top of that, just being back in California, hour away from home. You know, I tell the story when I got traded, the travel guy, Tom Taylor with the Angels, called me and was, he's like, so we're going to fly you into Orange County. And at the time, my car was at my parents' house. So it's like, I was like, I think you can just fly me to San Diego and I can just pick up my car and drive up. And I remember that once I asked that, it's kind of just set in. And then, you know, had my girlfriend pick me up at the airport in San Diego that next day and, you know, got my car and drove literally an hour to the stadium. You know, the same drive that I made 100 times when I was a kid going to travel ball tournaments up north in Orange County. And it was just a surreal feeling. Just remember driving by Angel Stadium on a, you know, always in awe of it. You know, never went there as a kid growing up, but always drove by it. And, you know, it was, sticks out like a sore thumb. It's right off the freeway. It's right there. And so yeah, it was something that was pretty cool. I remember driving up to the stadium and just kind of being like, wow, this is, I'm going here to work now. It's not,
yeah,
you know, it's, that's, we're in the awesome big leagues. And I think yeah, just a lot of things going into to, you know, the so-called fresh start was huge for me.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, obviously, I mean, you were hitting tanks early this season out there in L.A. I mean, where did this power come from, man? Like, you were like, what, 140 pounds when we drafted you?
Oh, about 142 maybe, soaking wet. No, I don't know. Hey, listen, I hit 6 in spring training last year.
People forget that.
Well,
and you broke your wrist. You
well, listen, listen. Ryan Yarbrough is still like, Ryan Yarbrough is still enemy number one of this podcast. Like,
yeah,
like
God, man.
Trent Thornton hit Bryce in his first year here, and Bryce is a little gimpy. John Lannon broke Utley's hand in 07. He'll always, oh, yeah. And Ryan Yarbrough. Those are the three guys who I can't stand.
Yeah, Blake Snell. If the Phillies hadn't have made the playoffs last year,
Blake Snell
hadn't had his run, like Blake Snell would be right on that list too. We remember them, Genesis, well, Cabrera.
Well, because, Beats, like, dude,
like, I remember all this.
The game, it was the last freaking game of spring training, and it was in Tampa, and you hit a home run.
And you were white hot, like white hot all spring.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, was, we were like, yes.
Mickey.
I'll never forget.
It was like, no.
Yeah.
I remember it was the weirdest thing, too, because I had a feeling after my first at-bat hitting that home run. I don't know what it was, but in the back of my head, you know, you get those just like, something's not right. Like, there's a bad feeling in the back of your head, and it was a weird moment. But you know, it happened, and it sucked, and you know, just got to move on, learn from it.
Yeah.
And then obviously, getting hit again, got to Anaheim and got hit again. That sucked too. So, and then got hit again last year. So,
just stop getting hit.
It was a roller coaster last year. So, just grateful to be healthy this year and. Luckily, not getting hit in the hand 3 times. It's definitely pretty sweet. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we are obviously happy for you. And it's been like, it's just been a joy. Honestly, like, now the pressure's off, you know, at least here. Cause like with you, it was like, that's our guy. Like, he's our future here. And now it's like, hey, you can just go cook elsewhere. You know what I mean? Like, so unfortunately, we're not reaping the rewards of you going off, but it's okay. We are,
yeah, we're just happy for you, man.
Yeah.
That's all. We just want you to succeed. Yes. Yeah, best, and maybe man. Someday you'll find your way back here, you know?
Yes.
And let me tell you something else, too, Mick. Seriously, like, no joke, dude. Whenever you are done playing baseball in 15 years or whatever it is, like, you could talk about baseball, man. You're a good talker. Like, that's another, like, you know, whenever they offer those classes to active players, hey, you want to get into media or whatever, you know, don't turn your nose at it, man. Like, you can really talk. So
I thought about it.
Just throwing that out there, too.
No doubt. Hey. Nothing's off the table.
Good.
Yeah.
Ever.
So I'm curious. Obviously, you've been in the dugout with Rob Thompson. Obviously, Girardi took over at the beginning, or Girardi was the manager at the beginning of last year. What did you see from Rob Thompson? Like, are you surprised at how well he's done since taking over for this team? I mean, again, you were in the clubhouse with him.
Not at all. I think Tomper's the perfect guy for that group of guys. You know, I think he's a perfect manager, not only for the Phillies, but I mean, he could manage anywhere. He's just got that, trust in his guys. I think, you know, when I was over there and even when I wasn't playing well, you know, Tomper always made me feel like I could go out there and get 4 hits that night. And, you know, he showed confidence in me, even when, you know, I didn't deserve it at times. I think that's just the kind of manager. That's just the kind of guy he is. He's, even keeled. He, you know, there's no panic in Tomper. It's, you know, who he is what you get. And it's, he's the perfect guy for that job. And, you know, when he got the job last year, that guy's been in baseball forever and, you know, never got the opportunity to manage. Yeah. And, you know, I remember when Girardi did get fired and we got the text that Tomper was going to be the manager. I just remember being, you know, it was a weird day, obviously, cause you don't want your manager to get fired. But, I remember being, you know, pretty excited to see what Tomper can do. And you know, just that first meeting we had with him in the clubhouse that day, you could feel that things were going to start changing. And obviously they did. I remember, I think when we go on like a 10-game win streak after Tomper took over.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that.
And, 9 or 10, I think it was. Yeah.
And it was on after that. So, yeah, I'm excited to see him. You know, he's stayed in touch with me, you know, reached out from time to time. And, you know, he's always been in my corner, even when, you know, I was in the minor leagues and he was still the bench coach. So it's definitely really, really cool to see, really cool to watch.
Yeah, no, he comes on the morning show with us once every other week, and he's like the nicest guy in the world. And he's so genuine. And he gives you honest answers, like really honest answers.
No doubt.
And obviously his story finally getting a chance at his age is amazing. One more for me, Mick. You mentioned the guys early on when you're talking about, you know, watching the squad last year and the ovations in Philly and all that. Like, you know, guys who are your best buds in the world, you know, guys you came up with, you know, seeing what Bryson, you know, Stott is doing this season, what Bomer's doing, what those guys that you kind of grew up with are doing. Like, what's that like to see? And did you know that they had it in them this quick? Like, that Bryson Stott could go from what he was last year to a guy who's, like, among the – batting average leaders in the sport this year. Like, you know, how, you know, what's it like to see that from afar, and did you expect it to happen this quick?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely expected it. I played with Bomer in, you know, that year in Double A in 19 when he hit almost damn near 30 homers and hit 300, and, you know, it was, I remember just being like, that's gonna play in the big leagues. I remember telling people, you know, he's one of the better hitters I've ever seen. And, you know, obviously he's doing what he's doing. Definitely not surprised by that. And then Stotter, you know, I got to play a little bit with Stotter, obviously the alt site, and then came up a little bit in 21 in Lehigh, and then, you know, 22 last year, had a great spring training, obviously, and, you know, made the team and got off to a tough start, but that happens. You know, I think I remember there was some, like, analytical stat, you know, I'm not a big analytics guy, I don't really pay attention, but someone brought it up and it was like he was hitting .180 but had some of the worst luck in baseball. Like, he could have been hitting like .250, .260. So, you know, I think him getting the opportunity and just getting more at bats. It's obviously, you know, it's baseball. Things are gonna turn. You know, if you just stay the course, and you know he's done that. Yeah, but by no means am I surprised with what they're doing. You know, they're studs. It's been fun to watch, and I'm excited to share the field with them again coming up. And even though it's in the opposing dugout.
For sure. Now, people do forget. I know Boehm and Stotter. You know, they get a lot of credit. Veerling, part of the Phillies daycare.
Yeah.
I mean, you were part of that as well. How did that? How did that whole thing start?
I think Schwarber was messing around with it one day. Maybe K-Long talking about, you know, I think one of the games. There was like six of us in the lineup that day, and it's like, oh, and I think like a couple of us did something. We won the game, and I think they were just joking around about, you know, the daycare won the day, like won the game today, the daycare this, daycare that. And then we kind of ran with it, and, you know, we made shirts and, you know, just kind of embraced it. And it was fun. You know, obviously you got guys like Schwarbs and JT and Bryce, you know, veteran guys, and then you had us young guys running around causing havoc. Nick Maton throwing up Wolfie to every single person. Veerling, Boehmer being the guy he is, Stotter. You know, I think it was fun. It was a good mix of young guys and older guys, and I think the older guys, they let us, you know, feel comfortable in that clubhouse last year, at least when I was there, and you know, kind of allowed us to be us and kind of mess around and let the youth, you know, take over a little bit. And I think that's kind of where the daycare kind of comes from.
Awesome. Now, people always talk about, like, Schwarber, and it's like, oh, well, he's batting 180, like, this, 180, that, whatever. Like, and a lot of, from the outside, it's like, he's a great leader, whatever. Like, what makes Schwarber, like, a great leader and, like, kind of changing that clubhouse around?
He's the same guy every day. And, you know, he wants everyone to be included. He wants, you know, the team to be doing stuff together. He wants to bond with everybody because he knows, you know, when you make those deep runs in the postseason, and he's been there a lot, you know, you got to be tight. You got to stick together. And, you know, you win, you lose. It's you play tomorrow. So, you know, he was good at, you know, celebrating the wins, and because it's hard to win the big leagues. And when you do win, you should enjoy it. But also if you lose, screw it. Tomorrow's a new day, and you know, we got a game at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Doesn't change that game. So I think just having that presence, having the experience that he's had in the postseason and you know, just being there, winning a World Series, you know, I think that was huge for us last year to have him there. Yeah, man, I think, you know, when everyone talks about him being a good clubhouse guy, I think that's an understatement because, I mean, his value to a team is immense. You know, whether he's hitting a .180, I mean, he's hitting a .180, but he's got 30 some homers and he walks and gets on base. It's just like, you know, the old.
It's not us saying it, Mick. It's not us saying it. It's people outside of us saying it. Yeah.
Hey, and people are, you know how it goes. Everyone's got their opinion and they're entitled to it, but he's, you know, I think, he's playing to his contract. He's playing to what the Phillies thought of him. And you know, I can't begin to tell you guys how much he means to that clubhouse for sure. At least, you know, when I was there, and I'm sure still to this day,
I'm sure. I don't think he's changed the last year. No. Last one for me. So, you obviously play with Shohei, you play with Trout, but I know you're also in attendance for, speaking of Schwarbs, his 488-foot home run in San Diego last year. Furthest ball you've ever seen live is the Schwarber home run or what?
You know, it might. I think Sho might have hit one 490 something this year. Unfortunately,
I'm sure he did.
Schwarbs, but
yeah, of course he did. Why not?
Put it this way. I went to Petco Park growing up as a kid, you know, my whole life until I got drafted and went to a bunch of Padre games. And I was at one of the Dodger games. We were sitting up in right field a little bit. There's like a little tunnel. We were kind of right above the tunnel for the game. And I remember someone nearby asking, like, you think we're going to get a home run hit here? And I was like, no, never seen a ball hit here. I don't think so. Maybe. And then obviously was there for for the series against the Phillies, and he went over that upper deck. So, I mean, he did something that I didn't think was possible. And I've watched a lot of home runs been hit in that stadium, and that was by far the furthest one I've seen hit in that stadium, for sure.
It's awesome. Yeah, I mean, the dude is just, I mean, when he gets a hold of one, like, really get, I mean, even when he doesn't, when he, like, hits off the end of the bat, it finds its way out. But, I mean, when he really gets a hold of one, it's majestic. It's unlike many things I've seen. Mick, seriously, like, we can't tell you how much it means to us to spend some time with us. And I said at the top, and it's true, you're our favorite baseball player. I apologize to all the Phillies. We love all our Phillies. All of them are our second favorite. But you're our top guy. We're rooting for you. We're pulling for you. I'll be at the game on Wednesday. I'll be giving you a standing O. You can promise you that. You're our guy, man. Thanks for everything. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you guys, man. All the support, everything. It's good to talk to you guys again. It's be good to see you guys, hopefully, in the next couple days.
Yeah, man.
For sure. Now, take it easy, though. Like, you know, we got to, like...
Listen, we still... We're not knocked out of it yet.
No, you're not. Yeah.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
Everyone just does
their best. Let's all go out there. Everyone go out there and have a good time. All right, Mick. Thanks so much, man.
I appreciate you guys.
The best. Plus, I didn't call Mickey Morandini at the end of the interview, so I was proud of myself, you know.
Didn't mess that up.
Yeah.
I do like that the YouTube audience just saw you, what we do when we play interviews, which is like pause.
Oh, yeah, just the pause.
5 seconds.
All right, 27 minutes because I'm editing. So 27 minutes in. Got it.
Can cut it. So,
got it. People listening, magic. You heard it that way.
Right. But yeah, he's just. I thought he had good stuff on the Phils, and
me too.
You know,
I was curious. He could do TV or radio someday. Like, he's a really good talker. He's clearly a very bright guy. I think it was really interesting to hear him talk about the fresh start stuff and all that. Like, he seems introspective. Like, he's a good thinker. He's awesome, man. Like, that's why we loved him originally. Like, we rooted for him as a player. The reason we loved to have him on the pod is because, you know, we used to have all these, not that we had many, you know, big time guests or anything back in the day, but, you know, we would get like minor league guys on or whatever. And we had Boehm on, and and not like any of these guys were bad talkers or anything, but they just weren't like super talkative or whatever. And Mickey came on and he was just like ripping off jokes and being awesome. We were like, our guy.
Yeah. The YouTube commenters were all confused as to why that we stopped talking.
Yes, so that's why I explained it. Okay, so that's why. So YouTube commenters, that's a little tease for you. You got to listen to the actual podcast, and then you get to hear our interview with Mickey Moniak.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by long. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.
All right, take back time. I hear my wife starting to make dinner in the kitchen, so it's nice. Take back time, Princey.
Sounds good.
And you got to go to the boardwalk and see your son on the boardwalk. First time in his life.
Yeah.
Other than probably like yesterday or today or whatever.
Well, he's too small for the rides at this point, too.
I know. But you can see his eyes light up with the joy of it.
Yes. Yeah. Although, I just wish I wasn't too big for like a log flume. I was a big fan of the what are they called, slides that you could go down the top.
Big fan of slides. Okay, you know, that was my Zoe, and right now big fan of slides, so there you go.
Big takes on the iOS podcast. Yeah. Can Kyle Schwarber get to 50?
Maybe. I mean, was he at 37 or 38 today? What was that?
I think that it was 37.
I think it was 37, too. I mean, look, has Kyle Schwarber hit 13 homers in a month before? Yes, he has. So
he sure has.
Yeah, he could. I wouldn't count on it, but he could. Sure.
And people will still not like him. I just want to make sure that's still out there.
By the way, you know, don't look now. 189, just saying.
Getting closer.
Mendoza is quaking in his boots right now.
Come on, Kyle.
Mario.
Come on, Kyle. Yeah, him getting to 50 would just be hilarious. Just another reason why his season is just breaking people's brains.
It's so good.
50, 100 RBI, 100 runs, third most walks in baseball, more strikeouts than his batting average. Just what a perfect player. Worst defensive left fielder in baseball.
He was born to make people angry. It's so good. Oh, and like the best clubhouse guy of all time by many people. Mickey Moniak just talked about it. He's perfect.
So there's and I felt it too in watching him. I always think like, hey, Trey, you know, why don't you steal more? But the more and more I think about it, like, Trey's batting two. After him is Harper, Castellanos, Stott, Bohm, whatever.
You want to take the bat out of those guys' hands, yeah.
Like, I know he'll probably make it. I think he's 23 for 23 on the season. He'll probably make it.
Yeah, he has a chance to set the record. He tied it, I believe, right? Chases?
I mean, that makes sense.
So I think there have been more who've gotten more consecutive in a row, but Chase's record of 23 for 23 in a season is the most in a season without getting caught. So I think if he just steals one more and then doesn't run again, he could have the record. But obviously, let's hope he, you know, tries for more.
Yeah. So like, I think Trey with two outs, it makes sense. Like if it's two outs and Harper's at the plate. But even then, it's like you could take a home run away from him.
Yeah, what are we doing? Yeah, I'm with
you. So I have felt it, you know, and I'm watching the games. I'm like, well, why isn't Trey stealing? I think if I was Rob Thompson and I was the Phillies and I have those hitters coming up after him, just let them hit. And if they hit one in the gap, he can score anyway. And they can take the ball to the ballpark rather than the risk of Trey Turner stealing second or getting thrown out trying to steal second.
I don't disagree. Obviously, if you think you have a particular advantage, like it's a center guard type guy in the mound or something, obviously go for it. But I generally agree.
There is I think Johan Rojas has been a revelation, and I'm very interested to see how he progresses here. There's nothing funnier than watching the ball die off his bat.
Oh, I know. It was so funny. It was like, it's gone. And it's like, oh, it always dies,
dude. It's like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I've seen that hit 10,000 times at Citizens Bank Park. Oh, that's a home run.
Every time. It's like, it's gone. Wow. Yeah.
It's like he hits it with a pool noodle.
Yeah,
and it just like it. I can't explain it. I've never seen a player who
it's
hits
like
the ball.
There's an imaginary parachute that the ball rockets off the bat, and at a certain point, just pops out and slows it down. It's wild.
It's insane. It's insane. Yeah. But every time I'm like, oh, well, here comes the Johan Rojas, like cold streak hitting. He always is just like, he's fine. And what he does defensively.
Like 280-ish or whatever. Like,
I know.
He's been pretty solid. And defensively, it's worth it, especially if you can keep him on the bench. And I asked Topper about that when he was on the morning show about Pache.
No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. Just a flex. No big deal. He said how they have the extra roster spot for September now. So, like, they're set. So, you know, we'll also be here. So, it's good.
It's not 40. It's not a 40-man roster.
No,
so,
which we
Gabe.
Talked about is so dumb. Thank God. Yeah, it's like, oh, poor Giants fans. Jeez.
I know. Having to watch that every night. And then last thing to take back, he closed it out today, but there's something about Kimbrel. Like, he's pitched a lot this year. He's getting older. If they can get
like a 5-6 or like a 6-game lead with like 20 to play, like shelve him for a couple weeks.
A little bit. Just shut him down for a little bit. Make sure he's good for the postseason because he's down like 95 tonight.
Jack, a million percent with this. I couldn't agree with this more.
And I'm not – especially because, I mean, I talked about last podcast how Alvarado is good to see him again, but stuff didn't look like it flashed. I feel like the last couple outings, it's getting back there.
Today it definitely looked – I thought today was – like he, you were like, oh, that looks like Jose. Like,
hey, also, what a crazy concept. Like, hey, starters, pitch late into a game. And then, like, did I don't think Seranthi pitched this weekend, did he? Did he go maybe Friday night?
Yeah, maybe Friday. I don't remember. But,
like, all these guys are so not being worked at all right now to where it's like, just go deep into the games and then give the bullpen a little bit of a rest because they've been carrying them for a while. Yeah, so he did not pitch Friday. Did he? I would be shocked.
He wouldn't have picked in the 12-1 game because they brought Wheeler back out, remember? And then it was Hoffman, and then it was Covey.
Covey! Bounce back Covey! So yeah, like these guys aren't pitching.
Great to Covey. Yeah, no, it wasn't Hoffman. It was Soto. I mean. Not Hoffman. Excuse me.
It was Soto. But yeah, so the Kimbrel thing, I'm definitely let's see what we can do here to get him some time off. Alvarado being back's big. Seranthi more well rested. Strom, I don't think they used him this weekend, which is also good because they need him to be healthy. It's good. It's a good spot to be in, and now the Angels come into town, and it's time to sweep Mickey.
Yeah, it is. It is though. It is. I mean, they've been a disaster. It's a shame. I feel bad. Like, if there were any Angels fans, I would feel bad for them that your team goes out and makes all these moves and then tanks the moment the trade deadline happens. Like, oh God, like worst case scenario. Tough.
Yeah.
Thank God they have Mick. I'd be like grabbing on. It's all I got is I'm an Angels fan, Mick. You know, Shohei's leaving. Trout's a shell of himself. Like, thank God for Mick.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the crowds are going to be insane because they bought tickets thinking they were going to maybe see Shohei pitch.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's going to be a great time. I expect, like, 40K. Plus, we get to see Logan Ohapi finally play at Citizens Bank Park like we always dreamed.
Yes. All of us had many dreams of him heading into a sea of red. It won't be a sea of red, but... all right, you got any final thoughts before I go to dinner, Fritzy?
I'm going to go to the boardwalk. I'm going to go to the boardwalk.
Yeah, you are.
And especially, like, coming off of Phil's win.
This is great. Just, you could stroll up with a big smile on your face, see your kid, be like, you know what? I think I got life figured out right now.
Yep, that's what many people say. That the guy that has life figured out is the guy doing a podcast instead of being on the boardwalk with his family.
Yeah, go to your family. I'm going to go to mine. Pod will be up soon. We love everybody. Shout out to Mick, our guy. He's Fritz himself.